All right, Jamosai. Good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed Dalid 34. We are picking up on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Reb Shimon Omer Chayiv. So we'll say it's five lines up at the bottom. Our shir this morning is sponsored by Milt and Melanie Gertner in honor of their son Ari's graduation from University of Maryland and the beginning of his journey to Eretz Yisrael. Where's Milt? Baruch Hashem, Ari has a one-way ticket to Eretz Yisrael. Where the journey is going to lead him in Eretz Hashem, only time will tell, but halavai, it should just be a journey that engenders incredible nachas for his parents and for his community. Mazel tov, mazel tov. All right, Tabose, let's begin. A lot to focus on this morning. So I'll say, so Reb Shimon Omer, so remember, we're speaking about, I don't know if you remember, of course you remember, you've been sitting on the edge of your seat since the Shira ended yesterday, wondering where all of this is going to go, with Shua Sa'idus and Shua Sa'pikadim. So I'll say, so remember again, we discussed yesterday the idea that Shavuos Ha'idus, that ultimately, again, remember, Shavuos Ha'idus refers to the fact that I go over to two people, I say, you know, testimony on my behalf regarding matter A, whatever it might be. They go ahead and they swear they do not, in the event, ultimately, again, that they are lying. That's called, again, they're in violation of Shavuos Ha'idus. So we established yesterday that one is only chayiv for Shavuos Ha'idus if one swears regarding monetary matters. So if one swears regarding monetary matters. So we're trying to learn out, or we're trying to figure out, where do we know that from? From Shimon Omer, chayiv kan v'chayiv bepikadum. Actually, differently. Rav Shimon, Omer chayiv kan v'chayiv bepikadum. Rabbi say it uses the word chayiv ultimately here by Shavuos Ha'idus and by pikadum. Just like by pikadon, so one is only chayiv in the case of tviyas mamon. Afkan inu medaber ela b'tviyas mamon. So also by Shavuos Ha'idus, one is only chayiv ultimately again if I am adjuring people based on a monetary claim. V'od kavachomer. Furthermore, there's a kavachomer. But say, what's the kavachomer? So, my pikadon sha'asav al nashim kanashim krovim kirechokim psulim kikshirim. When it comes to shuas ha'pikadon, but remember, we haven't spoken about shuas ha'pikadon yet. That's going to be our next set of mishnayos. But shuas ha'pikadon means I entrust something to someone. I say, Reuven, can you go ahead and you watch this item for me? I then come back. Say, Reuven, I'd like my item back. Reuven says, don't know what you're talking about. I could go ahead and administer a shvua. That's called the shvua sapikadon. So the Gemara, so Reb Shimon is making a comparison over here between shvua sa'idos and shvua sapikadon. When it comes to pikadon, the Rabbi said there is no distinction between men and women, krovim and rechokim, psulim and ksherim, the chayiv. Al kol achas va'achas tapav lama dalit bifnei bezim shlo bifnei bezim. And Abba said, no matter how many shavuos one took, one is chayiv for each and every one of those shavuos, whether they were taken in front of bezim or outside of bezim. And yet, despite all of this, inu medaber ela b'tviyas mamon, the only time one is chayiv for a claim of shavuos ha'pikadon, Abba said, is in a case of tviyas mamon where there's a monetary claim. Then edus, Abba said, when it comes to shavuos ha'edus, second, third line down lama dalit lama dalit. Shalo asaba nashim kanashim. Also, when it comes to Shavuos Ha'idus, men and women are not alike. Namely, Shavuos Ha'idus only applies to men, doesn't apply to women, because it's a din and edus. Krovim kirechokim. Excuse me. Lo asaba nashim kanashim. Krovim kirechokim. Furthermore, I will say, krovim relatives are not eligible for Shavuos Ha'idus. Psulim kiksherim. So again, remember, psulim are not eligible for Shavuos Ha'idus. Ve'ino chayev ela al achas bifnei bezin. And one is only chayev ultimately again for a shvua that one took in front of Bezdin. Furthermore, again, even if one took repeated shvuas in Bezdin, one is only chayiv once. Ein odin shelo yehi medaber ela b'tviyas mamon. The Rebbe says it goes without saying that it should only apply in a case where ultimately, again, there is a monetary claim, a tviyas mamon. To which the Gemara says, "Mal pikadon shekein lo asa ba mushbakin nishba." But one second, it will say, so what the Gemara is trying to suggest over here is that pikadon is a quote unquote laxer shavua. Why is it a laxer shavua? Because it applies to more people. So if by pikadon, which is quote unquote laxer, only applies to a case of tviyas mamon, shavua sa'idos, which is stricter, should certainly only apply to tviyas mamon as well. To which the Gemara says, but one second, when it comes to pikadon, shekein lo asa ba mushbakin nishba. We both say the halachos between one who swears on his own versus one who is adjured by others is not the same. Umezid kishogeg. Furthermore, again, I both say If you take a false shvas habikondom b'mezid, you're not chayv a carbon like you would be if you did it b'shogeg. So tomar be'idus, shekin asaba mushbokin nishba mezid kishogeg. When it comes to shvas ha'idus habosai, whether you go ahead and take the shvua on your own or you are adjured by someone else, the halacha is the same. Furthermore, by shvas ha'idus habosai, you bring a carbon, whether you intentionally or unintentionally swore falsely. Therefore, again, Talmud lomar, Techeta, techeta. Therefore, Rabbi say, ultimately, again, we have a gzeirah shava of techeta, techeta between shvuas ha'idus and shvuas ha'bikadon, the gzeirah shava. Ne'mar kan techeta, ve'ne'mar lahalon techeta. Rabbi say, it says over here, ultimately, again, by shvuas ha'idus, he used lashon of techeta. It says by shvuas ha'bikadon, techeta, mar lahalon ino medaber ele b'tvias mamon, afkan ino medaber ele b'tvias mamon. So therefore, Rabbi say, even though it seems to be somewhat alluring to try to learn Ephraim a Kal v'Chomer. The Kal v'Chomer doesn't quite work, but not to fear, we have a Gzeirah Shava. We have a Gzeirah Shava, ultimately, Techeta, Techeta, between Shvuas Sa'idus and Shvuas HaPikadon. To teach me that just as Shvuas HaPikadon is only Betvias Mamon, only a Shvuas HaPikadon, Rabbi says, is only generated when there is a monetary claim, so too Shvuas Sa'idus is only generated when there is a monetary claim. So Rabbi says, therefore, again, this goes back to our Mishnah yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's why, if I go over to Reuven and Shimon and say, Reuven and Shimon, you guys know that I am a Kohen. You know testimony to attest to the fact that I'm a Kohen. And what happens? They say, we have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. I say, swear that you have no knowledge that I am a Kohen, and they swear, and it turns out that they swear only falsely, Rabbi Osai. That is not a Shvuah Sa'idus. Even though, again, Howard pointed this out at the end of the shir, Tosis points this out in yesterday's daf as well. There are financial components to being a Kohen, no question, you get Truma. Just like by the Sota case, there are financial components as well. That's not the thrust of the testimony. The thrust of the testimony is a status testimony. So we see again, the Edim will not be chayiv for shvuas ha'idus. Why? Because there's no tvias mamon. Rabbi said, furthermore, there's another piece over here. Tvias mamon means I'm claiming money from someone else. Even though there are financial ramifications by being a kohen, there is no tvias mamon against someone. There's no financial claim. So how do we know? So ultimately, again, according to Reb Shimon, how do we see that shvuas ha'idus only applies in a case of tvias mamon? There is a financial claim against someone else. Techeta, techeta, a gzeira shava, ultimately, again, between Shuas HaPikadon and Shuas HaEdus. Beautiful, beautiful. Maskif l'Rabba, so we'll say, we're right across from Tosos D.E. Maskif l'Rabba bar Ula, Sar bar Ula, raise the kasha, O.O., Bitu Yochichu. So we'll say, what about the O.O., right? Or as Yochichu Shein Owen. So we'll say, remember again, we have another possibility, the O.O., somebody corrected me after yesterday, Shir, I said it wrong, it's Oh, I apologize about that. I'm sorry. I'm not from Baltimore, so I'm sorry about that. But so we'll say, so again, says Rav Bar Ula, what about the O-O, right? What about the Gzir Shava O-O, O-O from B2, Yokichu, Shehein Owen, V'yesh Ima and Shavua. So we'll say again, you have the O in both contexts, Yesh Ima and Shavua, V'ein Ima and Kohen, Umidabrim shelo b'tvias mamon. So we'll say ultimately again we have the gzereshava. Ultimately again from O.O. Now remember O.O. Rabbi say is the gzereshava between shvuas ha'idus and shvuas bitui. Shvuas bitui Rabbi say is a declarative shvua. Now remember you can make a declarative shvua about whatever you want, but it need not be what? It need not be based on any type of monetary claim. So we have a connection between Shuas Edus and Shuas Bitui. So why don't I say, based on that Gezira Shava of O-O, that Halach Lamaisa, again, you see that Shuas Edus applies even in a case where there is not a monetary claim. So he says, O-O Bitui Yochichu, Shehein Owen. First of all, there's a Gezira Shava of O-O from Shuas Bitui to Shuas Edus. V'yeshiman Shvua, there's a case of a Shvua. V'yeshiman Kohen, there's no Kohen necessary. We'll say, that's to exclude the case of Sota. U'medabrem Shlobetiyas Mamon. And it will say, in the case of Shuas Bitui, again, there need not be any type of monetary claim. To which the Gemara says, Mistabra, Mipikadon Havilei Lameilof, Shekein Techeta Mitecheta. To which the Gemara said, no, we would rather learn out Shvuas Ha'idos from Shvuas Pikadon, since you have the Gzer Shav of Techeta Techeta. Says Gemara, Adarabah, Mibitoi havelei lemeilof, shekein chatos mechatos. I don't understand. Why don't you make a gzir shava ultimately from shvuas bitui? Because the boss said the word chatos applies by bitui. The word chatos applies ultimately again in shvuas aydos. Make the gzir shava from there. To which the Gemara says, Elo mistabra mipikadon havelei lemeilof. So boss says the Gemara something amazing. The Gemara says, rather, it would appear that lemaisa, we should learn it out from pikadon. Why? Now the Gemara is going to discuss the various ways in which shvuas hapikadon is compared, or I should say, which shvuas ha'idus is comparable to shvuas hapikadon. Shekein, chait, bemezid, tave v'kafrei, v'avri. So what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi, we'll say, it's in the short lines of Rashi, about four lines in. Shekein, chait, techata mitechata. Number one, you have a gzir shava of chait chait, right? You have the same words. Ubishtem chayiv ala mezid. Rabbi will say both by shuas ha'bikadon and shuas ha'idos. You're chayiv even if you intentionally made a false shvua. Aval bitu ksive v'nelam. Tave v'kafrei. Both Rabbi will say shuas ha'idos and shuas ha'bikadon have a tviya, somebody making a claim and somebody denying the claim. V'avrei. And ultimately, again, both of them, I will say, are past tense shvuos, are shvuos on the past, whereas shvuos hapikadon primarily, ultimately, is something lahaba, something for the future. Adirabo, just the opposite. Mi bitoy habelei lemeilof. I would say, learn out shvuos ha'idus from bitoy. Why, I will say, shekein chatos. They both have the word chait. Sheyarda, look at Rashi just a moment. He says, "Usimin edus ubitu shneim bechatos ubaola v'yored." We'll say first of all again, both of them are bechatos, both of them are subject to ola v'yored. L'chomesh, both of them could have the potential for a penalty fifth. To which the Gemara says, "You're right, but hanach nefishin." We'll say at the end of the day, the comparisons between shvuas ha'edus and shvuas ha'pikadon are greater than shvuas ha'edus and Shvuas Bitui. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, it appears that the comparison between Shvuas Ha'idos and Shvuas Ha'pikadon went out. And therefore, again, for our purposes, what this teaches us is just as Shvuas Ha'pikadon must have a tvias mamon, must have a monetary claim, so to what? So to, again, Shvuas Ha'idos must have a monetary claim as well. Fine. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Vayo kiyashom achas me'ilas. Well, so remember again, this is just going back over the statements from yesterday's daf. We had, remember, Rabbi Eliezer, who we just saw before, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shimon. Each of them learning out in different ways that Shvuas Saidos, that, remember, the oath regarding testimony, one is only in violation of that if there was a Tvias Mamon, if this is a monetary matter at hand. So what does Rabbi Akiva learn out? From Rabbi Akiva Omer, Vahaya Kiyasham la'achas me'ila. So remember the pasuk says, it will be, if one will be liable for one of these things. What does this mean? Yesh me'ila shu chayiv, v'yesh me'ila shu pater. There are some of these things for which one is chayiv, and some of these things for which one is pater. In other words, certain shvuas, certain times which you are chayiv for the shvuas ha'idus, certain times which you are pater for the shvuas ha'idus. Ha'ketzad, tavo. Tava mamon chayiv. We'll say if the shvuas ha'idos, if ultimately the claim was a monetary claim, and the witnesses deny any knowledge, and then they are lying, they will be chayiv. However, tava davar acher. But we'll say at the end of the day, if the claim was for something else, then pater. Then ultimately, again, the edim will be pater. So it says, Zimara, I don't understand. Eifokano, why don't you switch it around? Then halacha lemaisa, again, they should be pater, but if it's for something else, ultimately they should be chayiv. Rabbi Akiva, a'owen d'Rebbe Lazar Samech. Rabbi Akiva, I will say, ultimately, again, holds like the Owen of Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, my ben Ayo, ben Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva. So I'll say, if Rabbi Akiva holds like the Owen, right, if he holds the gzer shav of O-O between Shvuas HaPikadon and Shvuas HaEdos, then what's the chilik between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? Ekabina, so here's the nafkamina, mashbia ede karko. Mostly, ultimately, again, what about if the claim was for karka? What if at the end of the day, again, I go and I tell witnesses that they know testimony regarding karka that is owed to me? They deny knowledge of that claim, and it turns out that they're lying. Is there liability for such a case or not? L'Rabbi Eliezer chayavin, L'Rabbi Akiva p'turin, K'rin Rabbi Elazar they'll be chayav, K'rin Rabbi Akiva they'll be pater, Ul Rabbi Yochanan damar hasam mashbia edei karka, afil Rabbi Elazar p'turin, Rabbi Elazar according Ultimately, again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that if one goes ahead and administers an oath about Ftei De Karko, even according to Belazar at their potter, Hacha Ma'ika Ben Belazar Rabbi Akiva, what will he say is the distinction between the Shidos of Belazar Rabbi Akiva, Ika Benayu Ediknas, Rabbi said, Nafkamino, ultimately between them would be in a case of Ediknas, like we saw yesterday, whether or not, again, one is Chayiv. If I go to witnesses and I say, witnesses, Reuven Shimon, you know testimony regarding a Knas that Levi owes to me. And what? They deny the claim. Is the is the denial of that claim a violation of a shvua se'edos or not? So the Gemara posits right now that that is the source of a machlokes in Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer. Rabbi Yosef Lili has a different sheet. Rabbi saying, what does he say? Omer v'hu eid o ra'a o yada. The pasuk says, and he is a witness, and he saw or he knew. So what the Torah is referring over here, again, to Shvua Sa'idos. Witnesses see testimony, and again, they fail to go ahead and testify about it regarding something they saw or something they knew. Be'edus tamiskayemes b'ri'iya below yediyah, or b'yediyah below ri'iyah. This refers ultimately, again, to testimony that could be upheld with ri'iyah below yediyah, with seeing something without knowing it, or with knowing it and without seeing it, akasa medaber. Amir Papa Labai, so remember we saw this yesterday. The Gemara spoke about examples of yediya below ri'iya, ri'iya below yediya. Amir Papa Labai, Levin Rabbi Yosef, Levin Rabbi Yosef, Levin Rabbi Yosef, this is amazing. This is amazing. So say that Rabbi Yosef holds, that there is the possibility, ultimately, again, for Eidot Samiskemes b'ri'iyah below yediyah, u b'yediyah below ri'iyah. So the Gemara says, Rav Papa says to Abaye, it must be that Rabbi Yosi Aglili doesn't hold of Rav Acha. They both say, now watch this. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's almost right across in Rashi. Meimar Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Do'amar ein Eidot Miskayemes ela b'ri'iyah v'yediyah, chutz me'edos mamo. So we'll say, remember again, Rabbi Yosef Halili, under normal circumstances, says as follows. Under normal circumstances, for edos to be upheld, we'll say, this is actually quite interesting, because this gets into the fascinating discussion about circumstantial testimony. So we'll say, Rabbi Yosef Halili says the following. Under normal circumstances, in order for edos to be upheld, you have to have yediyah and ri'iyah, which means what about say? I have to, number one, see it. I have to see the manifest. And what? I have to understand what it is that is happening here. Under normal circumstances, if I have ri'iyah below yediyah, I saw something, but I don't know what I'm seeing. Or I know something, but I didn't see it. So that's not good edus. The exception to this, according to Rabbi Yosef Halili, would be an edus mamon. Edus mamon might be the exception to this. But again, under normal circumstances, for edus to be bona fide, edus, there has to be yediyah im ri'iyah, ri'iyah im yediyah. So the Gemara says, oh, you see, Rabbi Yosef Halili doesn't hold over Rav Acha. Now why? What does Rav Acha hold? Now we're going to see in just a moment, but look at Rashi. Rashi says, let's say Rav Acha, Rabbi Acha, didoin, Umichayev bididami. We'll say, Rabbi Acha, as we're going to see, holds that one can give testimony based on circumstantial evidence. Rabbi Acha said, and what's the case of Rabbi Acha? Listen to this. Get ready. Tisanya, Rabbi Acha, this is really fascinating. Gamal ha'ocher ben ha'gmalim. Rabbi Acha said, if you have a camel that is kicking between the camels. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, ha'ocher boit beraglov. It's kicking with its feet. Rashi, v'li niralo, kishebalu zokek l'nekeva, hu nilcham umake beraglov gimolim shesivosav. So I'll say, apparently, you do not want to be around camels when they're mating. Why? Because apparently the male camel kicks when it mates. It doesn't kick its mate. It kicks the camels around it. So we'll say, so watch this. Gama ha'ocha bin ha'gimolim. So we'll say, if I know that there was a camel that was mating in the, I don't know what you call it, the herd? Is it a herd of camels? Don't shake your head, yes. You don't know any more than I know. Come on. Oh, yes, it's called a herd. Right? So a pack of camels, a flock, a group, a chevra. If there's a chevra of camels, right, and one of them is mating, what happens? V'nimtza gamal harug b'tzidon. Now, here's the chav. I know that camel A was mating. I know that camel A was mating. And what happens? V'nimtza gamal harug b'tzido. And I will say, what happens? I go ahead and I find a dead camel. by the side of the one that was mating. So we'll say, so again, what's happening over here is, so I know camel A was mating, and then after it finishes mating, I know that there's a dead camel by its side. So we'll say, so now, what's the issue over here? Here's what I know. Camel A was mating. B, camels when they mate, kick. And C, there's a camel that's dead by the side of camel A that was killed by blunt trauma, we'll call it, right? Blunt force. It was killed by being kicked. So I will say, so, but what don't I know? What don't I know? Or what piece of information is missing? I didn't see camel A kill camel B. That's the one part that I did not see. So it says the Gemara, the name of God, Harug Betsido, excuse me, Biyadua Shezehargo. So I'll say, Avacha says, we know for sure that it's Camel A who killed, we'll call him Camel B. Right? Camel B. So Rabbi says, it's clear that Rabbi Yossi Aglili doesn't hold the Ravacha, because Rabbi Yossi Aglili, under normal circumstances, says that in order for Eidos to be valid Eidos, there has to be Yediya and Re'iya. According to Rabbi Acha, Rabbi says it's clear that what? That even if you have Yediya without what? Without Re'iya, the Eidos is still good. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili clearly doesn't subscribe to this, because the truth is, you could even, if you held like Rabbi Acha, you could even apply it to Rabbi Yossi to Dine Nefasha's cases. How so? Rabbi Yossi, listen to this. Meshkachas like Rabbi Shem Meshatach. Rabbi Yossi, listen to this. Desanya. Oh, Rabbi Shem Meshatach. Rabbi Shem Meshatach said the following. Era b'nechama. Yeah, I see no consolation. Rabbi Yossi, this is Lashon of Shua. Era b'nechama. Im lo ra'isi echad sheratz achar chaveiro l'churva. I saw one running after his friend into, I will say, churva means into a desolate area. Meaning I saw him running with, I saw Reuven chasing Shimon into an uninhabited area. Verats the achar, I will say, now by the way, this is a maisa shahaya. This mamish happened. Shimon Shetach said, I saw Reuven running after Shimon. He pursued Shimon into an uninhabited area. Rats the achar of Shimon Shetach said, I ran after Reuven. He was running after Shimon. And what happens? By the time I finally catch up with Reuven, what do I see? I see Shimon's on the ground dying. Reuven's holding a knife, and there's blood all over the knife. Right, I said to Reuven, Russia, right, Russia, Mihargolazeh, who killed Shimon? Oani, Oata, right? There's only two possibilities as to who killed Shimon, right? It's either me or it's you, and you're the one holding the bloody knife. Hava ma'asa, she'ein damcha masra biyadi. But what can I do? I have no way to bring you to a court of law. Shari amra Torah api shnaim edim o shlosha edim yumas hames. Ultimately, again, the Torah says, based on the testimony of two or three witnesses, a person will be executed. Elamakom yifram mimcha. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go at an exact judgment from your boss. Listen to how the Maisa ends. Amru lo zazum yisham at shenashcho nachash umes. And we'll say they didn't move from there until what? Until a snake came along and bit Reuven and killed him. And yet, we'll say, what do you see? Afilu teima islei dravacha. So we'll say, so here's what's amazing. So the Gemara says, so I'm sorry. So we'll say, first of all, the point the Gemara is making over here is, if you subscribe to the Shita of Ravacha, then what? Then it's possible now, again, with one witness, perhaps you couldn't do it. But Lamais, again, with two witnesses, perhaps that would be enough to go ahead and convict Reuven of murder. Because Lamais, again, it would be a case of what? It would be a case of, Yediya, even without Re'iya. I'm sorry? Correct. So we have other technical issues over here. But the point the Gemara is making over here is, you could construct a case, or you could find someone accountable with just Yediya without Re'iya. So says the Gemara, field team, Yisrael Rabacha, Bishlam Yediya below Re'iya Mishkachasa. So we'll say, even if you subscribe to the Shita of Rabacha, so you could have a case of Yediya without Re'iya. Fine, I can understand you can have Yediya without Re'iya. So it says in Gemara, Ela Re'iya below Yediya, Heche Mishkachasa. But I'll say, how can you ever have a case of Yediya without Re'iya? After all, Milo Boy Meida, Imovit Kochavim Harag, Oh, you saw Harag. Rabbi said, you'd have to know, how can you ever have a case of Re'iya without Yediya? Rabbi said, you can never have Eidos without Yediya. Because if you don't have Yediya, then what? You don't know if the person who was killed was a Jew or a Gentile. Im Adam Trefa Harag or Shalim Harag. Ultimately, again, whether he killed a healthy person or he killed a Trefa. Shmamina Kasar Yossi Aglili. So we'll say, so fine. So we'll say, just as an aside, because the Gemara is now going to jump to a new topic, you should just know We do not subscribe to the Shita of Rav Acha. Right? The Rebbe said, we do not accept this premise. So, for example, even in the case of the camel, if Lameisa, again, if Reuven's camel was mating, and my camel happened to be right next to Reuven's camel, and when Reuven's camel finishes mating, my camel is dead by the side, the Rebbe said, that would not be enough to ultimately make Reuven chayiv to pay me for the damages of my camel, because we do not subscribe to the sheet of Rav Acha that circumstantial evidence is, and again, this is the case of circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence is not enough to make you chayv in dinei mamonis, and certainly not enough to what? To make you chayv in dinei nefashos. Says the Gemara, Shma mina kasav Rabbi Yossi Galili, mashpi edik nas pater. So we'll say what does come out from this is, it appears that according to Rabbi Yossi Galili, he would hold that I will say, if you go ahead and you adjure witnesses regarding a knas, and they lie regarding their knowledge about that testimony, that they should be chayiv. Because we'll say, if you hold that they're chayiv, so I understand you come up with the case of yediyah below ri'iyah, but ri'iyah below yediyah, mi lo boy meida. I will say, but how can you ever have a case of ultimately again ri'iyah below yediyah? There always has to be yediyah. Don't you have to know nachris bal bas yisrael bal? I will say, this would assume the case of, let's say, the fine where a man violates a woman. You have to know, did he violate the Jewish woman or a non-Jewish woman? Besula baal, beula baal. Did he violate the woman ultimately again, who's a besula, who's a beula? In other words, you can't have a case, I will say, of where you be chayiv for a knas without what? Without yediyah. It's fine. Yosef Rav Hamnuna came to Rav Yehuda. The Yosef Rav Yehuda came to Baile. Let's listen to this case. So Rav Hamnuna was sitting before Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda was pondering the following case. Mana minisicha bifnei ploni uploni. Let's listen to this. I say to Reuven, I went ahead, and I count, minisicha literally means, I counted out a mana to you, in front of ploni uploni, in front of the witnesses. And what happens? The Eidim, I will say, Amad Beis, the Eidim Ron, Osami Bachutz, and the witnesses see me counting out a mana to Reuven, but the witnesses are standing on the outside. Now, Rabbi says, "Feel good, Rashi." Rashi says, "Ve'edim roed osami b'chutz, v'lo hikir hanitba b'hem," which also means what? Reuven was unaware of the presence of the witnesses. So I claim now, Reuven, I counted out a mana to you in the presence of witnesses. Reuven was totally unaware of the witnesses. So my Rabbi say, what is the halacha in this case? So, bless you. So Rav Hamnuna says, one second, v'hala matole. So one second, before we know what the halacha is in this case, what's Reuven's counterclaim? Meaning, I'm claiming that I counted out a mana to Reuven in front of witnesses. So that's fine, but what is Reuven claiming? So if Reuven says what? So never happened, then what? Huchsa kafron. The Rebbe says it's clear that what? That he's a liar. Right? Why is it clear that he's a liar? Because we have witnesses. Because we have two witnesses that came to the contrary. E amr in shakli vididi shakli. So we'll say, on the other hand, if Reuven says, yes, Silber, you gave me a mana. You know whose money you gave me? You gave me my mana. I have lent you a mana, and you are paying me back that mana. Then ultimately, again, ki asu edim my havi. Then Rebbe said, even if witnesses come along and say, yes, we saw silver, go ahead and give Reuven a mana. But remember, this is Rebbe said, this is a case of what? This is a case of what? This is a case of re'iyah below yediyah. They see it, they see me giving him a mana, but they have absolutely no idea about what the circumstances are, the conveyance of that mana. So Amarlei, Hamnuna at... At also, so we'll say Rabbi Huda says. Remember again, Rabbi Huda says, Hamnuna, you are now permitted to enter into the base medrash. So we'll say apparently Rabbi Huda was testing Rav Hamnuna's halachic acumen. This was the entry exam. This was the fire to get into the base medrash. And with this Hamnuna shkoyach, you may now come into the base medrash. So we'll say, let's go back there. We'll say this is another riveting case. Here we go. Hahu d'amar leh l'chaver. Let's listen to this case. I go over to Reuven. I say, Reuven, money mini silcha b'sad amudzeh. Reuven, I lent you $100 b'sad amudzeh when we were standing on the side of this pillar. So what happens? Amar leh, Reuven says, lo avarti b'sad amudzeh. I didn't pass by. Impossible. I was never there. I didn't pass by the pillar. Asu Trey Sadi was listening to this. two witnesses come along, ashidu beid hishtin mayim bitzadam uzeh. Say, Reuven, you relieved yourself on the side of the pillar. So Moshe says, now what's the chap over here? Now, what are the witnesses testifying about? All the witnesses are doing is what they're both saying. They're placing Reuven at the side of the pillar. Remember, they're not saying any. Thank you. Right? I got it. Right? Correct. So remember again, they're not going ahead and saying anything about the loan. Right? All they're saying is as follows. I'm saying to Reuven, I lent you $100 by the side of the pillar. What did Reuven say? Right? I was never by the pillar. Witnesses come along and say, yes, you were by the pillar. You relieved yourself by the pillar. Again, all the witnesses are doing is placing him at the site of the pillar. Right? They're not saying anything ultimately again about the monetary claim. So say, so what's that, Locha? Listen to this. Armeli Reish Lakish, Hoksa Kafran. It's clear that Reuven is a liar. See, I will say one thing we know for sure. Rachel is one thing I know for sure. I don't know anything about the money, but I do know that Reuven's a liar. Because at the end of the day, Reuven says he was never by the pillar, and now we know he was by the pillar. 1 second. Maskel Rav Nachman. You're judging this like a Persian. I will say that's an insult. Right? You're judging this like a Persian. Now, I will say that the idea over here is Persian law. We've seen examples of this in the past. Persian law sometimes was fixated on certain. We'll see. Hadin de Parasahi. Mika Amar Me'olam. Did Reuven ever say, I never passed by this pillar ever? Did he ever use the word Me'olam? I never in my life set foot by the pillar. What Reuven was saying is, listen, you claim that you owed me, that you lent me money by the pillar on the 14th of Teves. I never passed by that pillar on the 14th of Teves. In other words, Reuven is not claiming that he's never had any interaction with the pillar in his life. What he's claiming is, you are claiming that you lent me money on a particular day by this pillar. I'm just telling you, by that day, I didn't pass by the pillar. I'm not talking about my relationship with the pillar the rest of my life. Just on this particular day in question, I nothing to do with the pillar. So the Gemara Igadar was another version of this. And this is really very interesting. Both say there's an alternate version of this exchange. I say to Reuven, I lent you money by the side of the pillar. Now this is different. They both say, what's different over here? What does Reuven claim in this case? I never ever passed by this pillar. Nafku beisadi vehishtin mayim bitzad amudzeh. Witnesses come along and say, what are you talking about? We saw you relieve yourself by this pillar. Right? What are you talking about that you never passed by the way? We saw you relieve yourself by the pillar. On Rav Nachman, Huchsa Kafrin. Rav Nachman said, you see, Reuven's not. I'll say this case is different. Why? Because in this case, what is Reuven saying? What is Reuven saying? I never passed by. Neolam. Never passed by. Rav Nachman says, he's a liar. So we'll say, listen to this. Amarli Rav Nachman. Rav said to Rav Nachman, no. We'll say, and this is very important. Kol milsa delo ramya alei de'inish. Avidla. Belava daite. So Rava comes along and says he's not a liar. Rava will say, why? Because anything that a person is not obligated to remember, he doesn't remember. Rava will say, what do we remember in life? Or what do we try to remember in life? Those things that are important. But we have difficulty remembering even those things that are important. I'll tell you, there's a flu going on. My whole mishpacha is under the weather. I had to go to Rite Aid yesterday to pick up medicine for my kids. So the pharmacist asked me, what's your daughter's birthday? I was like a deer like in headlights. I thought they were going to call Child Protective Services. So I'm saying, what has to happen? So remember, again, good thing I called my wife. So understand, what the Gemara says is as follows. That when there's information you have to remember, that's the information you remember. And we have a difficult time sometimes doing that. Inconsequential information, that doesn't matter. People don't remember. Where I urinate, I will say, generally, is an inconsequential piece of information. Therefore, again, when I see it at Reuven, I lent you money by the side of the pillar, and Reuven says, I never passed by that pillar, and witnesses come along and say, oh, you sure did pass by that pillar, you went ahead and you relieved yourself on that pillar, Reuven's not lying. I will say, it's quite possible that's what? He just didn't remember. But one second, how can you not remember? Because people don't remember inconsequential information. And therefore, again, it's not about, and Rabbi said, by the way, this, if you'll notice, by the way, is indeed codified halacha l'maaseh according to the Rambam. The Rambam says a person is not held accountable for what the halacha deems as inconsequential information. If it's inconsequential, then indeed one is not obligated to retain it. Therefore, in this case, when Reuven says, even though he used the word me'olam, I never passed by the pillar, and witnesses come along and say, yes, you did, and you urinated by the pillar, Reuven is not called a liar. Why? Because they both say this is not deemed important enough information that Reuven should have to retain. Good. Weiter. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chayiv Khan, the Chayiv the Bikadon. Machkolim Marov. Supposed to say, they used to laugh, bless you. They used to laugh about Rabbi Shimon's Drasha in Eretz Yisrael. My Chucha, right? Well, I don't understand, why do they laugh about it? So remember again, this is all the same topic. We're just trying to figure out that when it comes to Shavuos Ha'idus, one is only chayiv ultimately again when there was a denial about a monetary claim. Or when I was petitioning the witnesses to testify regarding a monetary claim on my behalf. But it was for something that was of a non-monetary nature, then there is no chayiv of Shua Sa'idos in those circumstances. So all we're seeing over here are all these different tanoim ultimately having differences of opinion as to where we learn it out from. But bottom line, everybody's in agreement, just the machlokes where we learn it out from. So machalim ma'rava. So they used to laugh about Reb Shimon's drash and Eretz Yisrael. My chukah. Why? I don't say, why is this so funny? Why are they making fun of? Diktoni malapikadon shekin lo asaba mushbakin nishba. Well, so when it comes to pikadon, so pikadon, remember again, we don't make mushab and nishba. It's not the same if what? If you take the oath on your own versus if somebody else adjures you, meizid kishogeg. So michti mushab and piyatsa be'idus Reb Shimon alei. So say, where does Reb Shimon know that even if you take a shvuah sa'idus on your own, that you're going to be chayiv, the gomer be pikadon? Because ultimately, again, he learns that from pikadon. Pikadon nami mushab and piyachirim. Migvar me'idos. But one second, when it comes to pikadon, Rabbo say, the case of mushu and fiachirim, that you could be adjured by others, we learn that from Shuva Sa'idos. Umay chuka, so Rabbo say, what are they mocking? What are they making fun of? Dilma Reb Shimon kavachomer ma'isilo. So maybe Reb Shimon learns that from a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Me'piachirim chayiv. If you could be adjured by others and you're chayiv, maybe asma lo kol shekin. All the more so, again, you'll be chayiv if you take the oath on your own. Elochuka, rather what they were making fun of or disparaging was amazed kishogig. I will say rather they were mocking the comparison between amazed and shogig. Ditani malapi kadon shekin lo asaba mushbakin nishba. Mezid kishogeg when it comes to because Rabbi say where Chazal didn't make or the Torah didn't make mushba kinishba where you go ahead and you take the oath on your own versus being adjured by others mezid kishogeg michti mezid gabe edos minale. Rabbi say where do we know that even if you take a shua sa'idos intent even if bemezid you took a false shua sa'idos, how do we know that you're still chayiv? So the Gemara says minale. Because also by Shua Sa'idus it doesn't use the word vanilla. Vanilla means the knowledge was obscured or hidden from me, which tells me that even if I intentionally take a false Shua Sa'idus, I will still be chayiv. The carbon. Hachinami loksiv bevanilla. So to over here, Abosai, it also doesn't say vanilla. Amar lehu rafuna umay chuka dilma meizid delav kishogi pipikadon. I will say maybe ultimately again Reb Shimon learns out that Mezid is not like Shogeg by Pikadon from the case of Me'ila. And they will say that's what they are making fun of. Add the Gamarle Me'ila before you learn it out from Me'ila. Migmarle Me'idus. In other words, before you learn out Shuas HaPikadon from Me'ila, why don't you learn it out from Me'idus? Mestabra Me'ila Havele Le'ilav. The Rebbe says it makes more sense to learn it out from Me'ila. Why? Shekin Me'ila Me'ila. Because the Rebbe says both Me'ila as well as Shavuos HaPikadon both have a lashon of Ma'al. Adrabba, I would say just the opposite. Me'edos Havilei Le'Melav. No, you should learn out Shavuos HaPikadon from Edos. Why? Shekin Techeta Mitecheta. Because the Rebbe says Gzeir Shav Techeta Techeta. Mistabra Me'ila Havilei Le'Melav. No, so you make more sense that you learn from Me'ila. Why? Shekein, Rabbi say, because look at all the similarities they have. Shekein, Me'ila. Number one, again, they both have Lashon of Ma'al. Bakal. Rabbi say, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says over here, Shnehem Noagim Bakal. Aval edus eino noe elabidru yilai. So we'll say both of them apply to all kinds of people. Nen, and we'll say ultimately again, that ushneim nenu ba'abir sheb yadam, both benefit from the violation. Zenem in a hekdish, I'm just reading Rashi. Vezek kafar mamon, one went ahead and benefited from hekdish, and one benefited because he denied a monetary obligation. La fuki edus, shonar, both says both of shuas edus, or one doesn't benefit. Bikavua, ultimately, again, both are chayv a carbon kavua, as opposed to a shuas edus, which is chayv a carbon ol leviyoreid. Chomesh, both are subject to a chomesh obligation. Va'asham, ultimately, again, both are subject to an asham, as opposed to edus, which is a chatos. Adrabah, so we'll say those are all the similarities between the two. Adrabah, because it's just the opposite. Me'edus habalei lemeilav, I can learn out shuas habikata from edus, how so? Shekein chata, because we'll say ultimately, again, or chit. There's Xer Shavav Techata Techata. Number two, Hedyot. Both apply ultimately again to regular property, as opposed to Me'ilo, which applies to only to Hegdish. Bishvua. All of them have an obligation, or both unfold with a Shvua. Tavei Bekafre. They both have a claim and a denial of that claim. Owen. Always comes back to Owen. Both have O's. So both say, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Bahanach Nefishim. Ultimately, again, the first side has more comparisons than the second. Elamai chuka. So we'll say, so what is, what, why are they making fun of Eretz Yisrael? Ki asra papa of Rav, unabri de Yeshua, mi bei Rav, amri, hainu chuka, michtei Reb Shimon gzera shava, gamir le, gamir, Reb Shimon learns that from gzera shava, lamele de parich, why can't he ask, why, or why doesn't he ask on the gzera shava? Male pikadon, shekein lo asaba, mushba kinishba, meizid kishogeng, when it comes to pikadon, so pikadon Rabbah says differences. How so? Number one, we don't make mushba kinishba, and maize is not like shogeng. Umay chuka, Rabbah said ultimately again, so what are they mocking? Dilma, ki parich mikamei de tekom le gzer shava. Maybe, ultimately, again, the question was only raised before the gzer shava was established. Basar, the kam le gzer shava la parich. Once the gzer shava is made, maybe all the questions fall by the wayside. Below, Sigmar says that's true. Vaha amr luhu rava bar isi the rabbanon, man tana shvuas hapikadon, lo niton zedona le kapara. Who is the one who says, Rabbah said that shvuas hapikadon? If you intentionally violate it, there's no kapara. Bshimini, dilma mezid kishogig parach. So Rabbah said, maybe they're really asking ultimately on the case of mezid kishogig. The gomer le mimi ila, ultimately, again, clear not from me'ila, the hanach nefishin. Because of us, we learn that from Me'ila, because ultimately Me'ila shares more comparisons, as we saw before. Aval mushba kinishba lo parech. But he does not raise the kasha ultimately again of mushba kinishba. Viti hadr edos, viti gomer le mi pikadon. But I will say, why not go back and learn that edos ultimately from pikadon? Meizid lav kishogeg, ma pikadon shogeg in meizid lo. Just like I will say, when it comes to shas ha pikadon, you only chayiv for shogeg, but not chayiv for meizid. In other words, that if you intentionally take a false shas ha pikadon, you're not chayiv a karbon. Af edos. So do I say the same thing about shas ha edos, shogeg in meizid lo. Maybe on the chayiv, ultimately, again, Rabbah say, if what? If you take it b'shogeg, or if you take that shogeg b'shogeg, but not b'meisid, kihechi delelef, Tushni Gemara says, kihechi diolef pikadon me'mi'ila, same way that we learn out pikadon me'mi'ila, Rabbah say, top of lamed, hey, la'achi kasa rachmana le'idus gabi shvuas bitui. Rabbah say, this is why the Torah purposely places shvuas ha'idus next to shvuas bitui, the gabe tumas mikdash v'kadoshav, and also right by the section ultimately again of tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. Why? The bekulon ne'mar bahen v'nelam, because also all of these cases shvuas bitui, tumas mikdash v'kadoshav tells you, uses the word v'nelam. I will say v'nelam teaches me that I'm only chayef for shogeg. Yet v'kan lo ne'mar bahen ne'elam. Yet Rabbi say by Shavua Sa'idos, the Torah purposely does not use the word v'ne'elam. Why? L'chayiv ala meizid kishogeg. To ultimately teach you that what Rabbi say, when it comes to Shavua Sa'idos, you are chayiv ultimately again for both meizid and shogeg, whether you violate the Shavua Sa'idos intentionally, unintentionally, b'chayiv b'karan. Rabbi say, what is the takeaway from this entire sugya? Rabbi say, the takeaway, first of all, is that number one, by Shavua Sa'idos, which is quite unique, you will be chayiv for both mezid and shogeg. Your Shabbos is very unique here. That if a person, remember, if Eidim intentionally go ahead and take a false shvuas ha'idus, so I go over to Eidim and I say, you know testimony on my behalf regarding matter A. And they say, no, we don't. And it turns out that they're lying. Whether they accidentally lied because they thought they didn't have eidos, or they intentionally lied, they will be chayiv a karban for having taken a false shuas eidos. And Rabosai number two, which was the point of this entire blot of Gemara, was what, Rabosai? Number two was that aloch lamais, when it comes to shuas eidos, you are only chayiv for what? For tfias mamon. Only if there is a monetary claim. Only if I'm asking them to testify regarding a monetary claim. That's the one mechayiv. And Rabosai number three, which is ultimately not really related to this sugya, but just brought in kind of tangentially, we do not paskin like Rav Acha, and therefore again, one cannot indict based on circumstantial evidence. That is true ultimately again in Dinei Mamonos, and certainly true in Dinei Nefashos as well. Rabosai, we'll stop over here. I want to tell you something very exciting. There is some Agarata tomorrow. There is some beautiful, tomorrow's a beautiful new sugya. There's a little bit of Agarata. We'll pick up at Mishnah Lamed Hei tomorrow. We'll say Shkoyach.